I think you were just introducing the show, made it just in time. And yeah. For those who don't know, you better ask somebody. You can ask me. This is Freedom Fiends Live. It's our Fiends Live call-in show every Sunday. And if you want to add your fuel to the libertarian fire, go ahead and call us at 307-215-5171.
Yeah, I'm using my ribbon mic today, so if I sound especially sexual, that's why. Especially sexy. And here, let me turn up the treble a little bit. There we go. Yeah, sexy. It doesn't sound muffled now. What's up,
Nina? You're microsexual instead of... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not much, man. Just chilling, reading about liberty, talking about liberty, trying to promote anarchist literature.
Isn't that against the law?
Apparently you
somebody
get raided,
got raided
for, it now.
For that. Some Seattle or Portland people got raided for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I read about that. I mean, they weren't like anarcho-capitalists. Like, supposedly it was...
They were commies.
Yeah, yeah. Commies, lefty anarchists, whatever you want to call it. But I guess it was in relation to protests related to the Occupy movement. And the FBI raided some people's homes in Portland, Olympia, Seattle. And one of the things in the warrant they said they were investigating was anarchist literature. Or anti-government or anarchist literature.
Obama doesn't like the idea that communism could be implemented without him. So it's competition.
Is that it? Okay. They're just protecting their market share, I suppose.
Yeah, he doesn't want the stateless society variety of communism, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess this, I don't know if it breaks a precedent or not, but it is kind of chilling, so to speak, to have the FBI raid your house. And part of the judge-granted search warrant says in search of anti-government or anarchist literature, which is something we produce on a bi-weekly basis.
I know. And speaking of the good kind of anarchy, the non-violent, non-communist kind, anarcho-capitalism, there's a great new site. It's it's dailyancap.com. That's dailyancap.com. It's an aggregator site. It's basically one page that has all the feeds of all the really good anarcho-capitalist media produced out there. And so it's kind of a one-stop shop. You know, it's like your daily newspaper of the truth. You just go there and you see like what Stefan Molyneux said that day and what Lou Rockwell said that day and what the Freedom Fiend said that day. It's good.
Yeah. Really great resource. And, you know, I kind of had the idea to do something like that and somebody beat us to the punch. And that's great because it's just a niche that needed to be filled. I did check it out and it does look pretty... pretty clean as far as websites go.
If you were like the guy who the Winklebottoms from Facebook, you'd sue him for doing your idea right.
Hell no. That's not me, man. That's not me. But also related to this FBI and them raiding these folks for anti-government or anarchist literature. Apparently, in the FBI's internal documents, which this same website, I think Green is the New Red is their name, which is kind of commie and environmentalist. But
well, no, it's also kind of saying that you know, green concerns are being scapegoated the way that communism used to be,
yeah,
and hunted
yeah.
down like the dog they think, you know, the government thinks it is.
Right. And I get that. But, you know, anarcho-capitalists sometimes throw shots that way in the same vein, sort of. I've heard them call the green movement watermelons, you know, because they're green on the inside and or green on the outside, red on the inside. And maybe this is a little bit of a oversimplification, but I think the nut or the kernel there is that, you know, a lot of the things that people want for their green initiatives involve government force against
yeah.
people.
Yeah, but true anarchists, the red and black kind as opposed to the yellow and black kind, our flavor, you know, in a way they want the same thing we want, which is just no government stepping on their toes. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to have a redistribution of wealth without throwing me in a re-indoctrination camp. And, you know, good luck making it happen because we have guns usually and they don't usually. So.
Well, the reason I brought that up was they did some investigating on the FBI, and they have internal things now that the FBI is doing, sort of their training, and they did a presentation on anarchist extremism. And in the bullet points, they say that anarchists are, quote unquote, criminals seeking an ideology to justify their activities.
I think that the government is criminals with seeking an ideology to because right? Think about that. Like the government, you know, like these three letter organizations like the FBI and the CIA and all that, like, they don't care who's the president. They don't care whether it's a left wing or a right wing. You know, they still do what they do regardless.
Yeah, they're criminals seeking actions or ideology to justify their budgets. And if you think where their budgets come from theft. So it's a little bit of projecting there, I think, that they're doing with these anarchists. They also say that anarchists are, quote, not dedicated to a particular cause. Now, that seems kind of... That seems kind of counterintuitive if the FBI is trying to make the case that anarchists are supposed to be taking down the government or doing violent things. I mean, wouldn't that then be their cause?
They might be saying, kind of wrongly misinterpreting how the word anarchism covers a lot of different things. It's kind of like saying, you know, I like rock and roll. That can mean, you know, anything from Slayer to Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. F those guys. I don't want to talk about those guys. They're just trying. They're just trying to chill the effect. You know, like the chilling effect where they can't arrest everybody, and they just arrest a few high profile people, and it makes other people go, I'm sorry, I won't talk about this anymore.
Yeah, I think there's some of that there. I also think there's a lot of, hey, what's the buzzword today? You know, who are we going to go after? We need a new project so we can get more money for our budgets. So we have to look like we're doing something.
It was sovereign citizens last month, and this month it's anarchists. You know, when I was a kid, it was communists. And I always go back to that thing that Jim Object said that I thought was just funny. Is one of the funniest things I've ever heard was there was that video of the commie anarchists in Portland, Oregon, who wouldn't let a cop into their coffee shop. And, you know, some ANCAPs and I and Jim Object, who's an ANCAP, were kind of going back and forth arguing about it. And he said, I hate commies, but I hate cops more. Go, commie, go.
There you go. Well, speaking of the FBI, I have been playing some Grand Theft Auto 4 lately. And I thought it was funny that their version of the FBI is actually called the FIB. As in fib.
Well, fibbies.
There was also this interesting mission where this government goon, he's like got all this dirt on you because, you know, you've been being a hitman and killing people, doing the things you do in Grand Theft Auto. And so he gets you to go on. He basically blackmails you or extorts you to go on this mission and kill somebody for the government. And in the phone conversation, he says, okay, so yeah, kill him. And this will be one murder you don't have to feel guilty about. Because you're doing your country a service. Yeah.
So last month, we had our best fiends total downloads ever in 1 month. We had 3.6 terabytes. Which is kind of mind-blowing. I want to pimp the Alexa toolbar. People should be using it. It helps the fiends, and it helps you. And it's cool because you can see like who's popular and who's not. The lower the Alexa rating of a website, it shows it every time you look at a website. It shows the rating. The lower it is, the more popular it is. And, you know, if
for instance, Google is number one.
Yeah.
Facebook Craigslist is in the top 10, et cetera.
Yeah. I don't have Craigslist in the top 10. Amazon's in the top 10. Is Craigslist in the top 10? Okay. Let me check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
But anyway, yeah. So today's episode is called A Nematode of Liberty That Gets Stuck in Your Brain and Grows. What's a nematode, Nima?
It's me. No, it's I think it's in the family. I'm not sure. It's a parasite that's microscopic. And I suppose theoretically it could live in your ear and feed your brain ideas.
Craigslist is number 44, Alexa.
Ah, okay. Top 50.
They ain't all that. They don't have pictures, so people don't like them.
Shit. 44 is pretty big.
I know.
But yeah, Nematode of Liberty. So that's me. I have been called Nematode at various points in my life. I much prefer that to being called Osama bin Laden, which I am not.
I think you're getting too plump to pull off looking like Osama bin Laden. I saw a picture of you on the beach, man. And you got a belly like me. But, you know, my belly took like 15 years to grow. And you were skinny when I met you 2 years ago. So good work, sir.
It's my wedding belly. My newlywed belly.
I know. It's a quality problem, man. You're not starving artist anymore.
There you go. There you go. All right. We'll have more fiends coming up for you live.
Worms and nematodes. Worms.
Nematodes, definitely.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, classics, Turkish, menthol, strawberry, cherry, vanilla, coffee, minty mint, and cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com. Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. We fight ignorance with information. We don't have all of the answers, but we put all of our proceeds into finding them. If this requires sequencing the genomes of a forbidden plant, we've done it. If it requires leaving the country for the free pursuit of science, we've done that as well. The Janome Project is an ongoing crowdsourced experiment in free pursuit of the truth on cannabinoid sciences. Join us and participate in studying Mary Jane's genome. Get the app by searching Jane-Ohm on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ohm.
Grandfather-in-law, when he saw me, he goes, "Oh, married life's been good to you, huh?" It's like, yeah,
I know. So. When I met you, your pants were falling down. You're so skinny, man. Like 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of my my news career, I'd started to put on a few pounds, and my suit pants actually ripped. The ass completely ripped out of my suit pants one day. It was the most embarrassing thing ever. I was interviewing some lady that was picked to like oversee the redistricting in Washington State or something gay and status like that. And I bent down to pick up my camera after the interview and I just hear this rip. And I was just like, fuck me.
That is double plus unworms.
Yeah, it was totally unworms. Isn't that a good,
this guy made that up. Double plus unworms. I really like it, man. New speak. New fiend yeah. speak. It's Jamin Baikanok said that. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He goes by the name of Lysander Spooner on Facebook. I just couldn't quote that, attribute it to Lysander Spooner.
The real Lysander Spooner.
Yeah, right, so it's Jamin Bit.
He did not say worms that I know of.
Yeah, I can't pronounce this guy's name, so I call him Jamie Bitcoin. I think someone should use Bitcoin. Billy Bitcoin, that'd be a good name if someone wants to have a made-up punk rock
there you go.
Anarcho-capitalist name. So give out the number there, Nima.
Yeah, I will. So if you want to call in and talk about freedom or statism or getting fat, dial 307-215-5171. Again, that is 307-215-5171. We can chat it up.
Here's what I say about the FBI and people like that trying to have a chilling effect. I personally enjoy a cool breeze.
Right.
And, you know, lefty anarchists.
Your chilling effect is just going to refresh my room a little bit.
Lefty anarchists are easy to raid because they don't have guns. It's kind of like, you know, the raw milk raids on the Amish. I haven't seen any raw milk raids in Wyoming. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, the goons love to pick on people who are not well armed. They love to pick the person that they know they can beat. I mean, some comedian did a hilarious bit about this on who we go to war with. It's like we don't go to war with other countries with big militaries. No, we pick the country that doesn't have an air force.
We don't go to war with countries that have nukes.
Ah, that's basically an important distinction too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of any that we've gone to war with that have nukes.
We never have.
Russia was the Cold War.
We've never tried to do a coup. Well, I guess, hold on, wait. Pakistan. Pakistan is the elephant in the room in that argument, though.
We haven't really gone to war with them. We have warred with people on their soil.
Well, we use drones to drop bombs on their soil on pretty much a routine basis.
You know, the thing a lot of people don't know about the Cold War, you know, you hear Cold War and you think like, oh, no bullets were fired. Millions of bullets were fired and a lot of people were killed. It just wasn't Russia shooting at America and vice versa. It wasn't the USSR. It was right. by proxy. Like, you know, Vietnam, you know, the US was fighting one side and funding one side and Russia was funding the other side. Same thing in the Congo, in a lot of the African, like blood diamond, conflict diamond kind of countries. You know, the US was funding one side and the USSR was funding the other side. We were just letting puppets do the fighting for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Korea, I would consider Korea an example of that as well.
Yeah. Although Korea and Vietnam, U.S. had troops there. The real true proxy wars, like the U.S. didn't have troops there. It just supplied guns and bombs and planes to one side while Russia did it to the other side. The USSR.
Yeah. Either way, lots of people died and lots of bullets were fired.
Bastards.
Yeah, that's what
so. Here's another site to check out. This was from a Wired magazine article called "The Cute Chat Site That Could Save Your Life and Help Overthrow Your Government," which is a pretty bold title for an article, even for the weirdos at Wired. It's a site called crypto.cat, and it's .cat, not .com, not .ca. It's some country, Catalina Islands. You know, it's just one of those like domain hacks. They're not really in the Catalina Islands, but crypto.cat, and they have a cat on the website, but it's a free chat site that's encrypted. So you don't have to install anything. You don't have to do any special stuff. I mean,
it's all browser based.
Yeah. I mean, someone could still watch you if they had a keylogger or something, but, it's a lot safer as far as the central scrutinizer reading what you write. You just sign on. You don't even need to like sign up. You just go on and make up a username for that session and someone else can, you know.
Well, kudos to Wired because Wired's been giving a lot of great articles and we've been talking about a lot of Wired articles. I guess it kind of makes sense because, you know, crypto anarchism or using technology to further your freedom. I mean, technology is on the cutting edge of that. So I guess it kind of makes sense that a mag like Wired would be covering those things.
I mean, Wired, a lot of Wired's readers are like Obama humper, Silicon Valley, San Francisco, hipster, iPad, you know, liberals, iPad liberals. But the people that started Wired are real OGs, like we're on the internet before anyone knew what the internet was. And a lot of them are with a hacker mentality and care about privacy and hate what's going on right now.
Right. Well, and in the Wired article, a lot of the focus of it is the chilling effect that the government is trying to put on the guy who programmed this browser-based encryption. His name's Nadim Kobayesi, and I guess he's from – well, they say he's a 21-year-old college student from Canada, Lebanon, and the internet. And it goes on to show how whenever he flies, he's got this – instead of where it says the serial number on his ticket – the airline or the airport always prints three S's. And I guess that's some kind of code to the goons to give him crap because they'll always pick him out for searches.
Search, surveil, and sodomize. Isn't that what it stands for?
I suppose. Yeah, might as well. We're missing an S there, though. Search, surveil, sodomize, and...
There's four S's?
Yeah, four S's.
I thought there's three S's.
Nope. Got
search, surveil, sodomize, here. And select. Select. Search, sodomize, and I forget.
There you go. There you go.
Scrutinize. Scrutinize.
Scrutinize. Okay. I think you've cracked their code, Michael.
I think they're
We're on to them.
So I'm really, you know, we've been talking lately about, and I did an interview with the Ben Quakers recently, about getting away from talking about tyranny today. And there's stuff that we have to talk about, but like, you know, there's stuff that most live podcasts today would probably be talking about that I don't want to talk about at all. Like, I don't want to talk about the shooting of the Sikh temple in Wisconsin, even though it's breaking news. It's like, it's sad and it's horrible. And they probably thought they were Muslims. And it was probably some rednecks who thought they were Muslims, but I don't even want to go there.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Oh, Fiend phone's loud on that one.
Man. Fiend phone.
I thought that was the central Fiend scrutinizer
phone.
Droning me.
Fiend phone.
Fiend phone.
Seem okay.
Fiend phone.
Yeah, answer,
hello.
Answer the Fiend
hello,
phone.
Hello, Fiend. Who's there? Who's this?
Hey, this is Steven in Kansas.
Hey, Steven in Kansas. Oh, yeah,
what's
you
up, man?
In. You're the guy that that has 27 IP addresses in Kansas.
Well, I might be.
Did you write us today?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, what's up, Steven? Oh, wait, we're going...
Oh, nothing.
We're going into a break here, but we're going to keep you on and talk over the break and record it for the archives, if that's okay.
Works for me.
Cool. How'd you come to listen to The Fiends? You were sick and laid up in bed or something?
Yeah, I was sick. I don't remember if it was a flu or a chest cold or whatever it was, but I was sick in bed and really couldn't do anything except watch TV, which doesn't really appeal to me, or
tired of the false surf economy,
on the internet and
want to carry real money.
That's a good
and
good person available for brainwashing when you're laid up in bed, you know.
Absolutely. Well, and you're exactly right. And like you, I'm an old school punk rocker, not quite as old school as you are.
Not as old as me.
I think. Old. But hardcore was a little late coming to the Midwest. So.
Well, did you ever go to the Outhouse in Lawrence, Kansas?
Yeah.
I played there a couple times in my band Bomb.
I went once when it was a club, and I've been a couple of times since
strip
it's been a
club.
Strip club.
Yeah, it's someone's making a documentary about it. Have you seen the trailer for that?
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. I wasn't sure if it was out yet.
I don't think it is. I'm in it. He didn't come here to do it. He just sent me the questions, and I filmed it myself and sent him the data.
Nice.
So, what was your worldview before you heard The Fiends, and how did we warp you?
Well, I guess when I got to voting age, I was never satisfied with the Democrats or the Republicans, and so I've been a voting libertarian, not an official member of the party, but I've been a voting libertarian for several presidential elections now, and growing up in the punk rock scene, I was never satisfied with the kind of socialist and bent of the whole thing, and it never seemed right to me, but I never spoke out or kind of stood my ground. I just kind of went along with whatever the political discussion was. There wasn't a whole lot of it, but I just kind of went along with it. And so, as you know, over the last few years, I've been trying to get my head around exactly what, trying to get a grasp on what my thoughts were and see if I could put it in some sort of neat little package. So I actually Googled the word libertarian punk, and thinking that, you know, this is, you know, there's got to be something. The internet's big enough now. There's got to be somebody out there who thinks the same way I do. And I came across your blog, Michael.
Cool. And then you found Freedom Fiends from there?
Well, I found the movie, and I watched the movie in 12 parts on YouTube or whatever it was. And
16.
And then from there, you know, like I said, I'm laying in bed with nothing to do, so... So then I found the podcast and started listening to the podcast. And so I've been listening for, you know, trying to play catch up since February. You guys have been on the air had your podcast for over a year now. So,
yep.
I was trying to play catch up and listening to a few episodes a day. And I don't live in Overland Park, Kansas, but it's the town, it's the largest town close to here. And I work one town over and I live one town in the other direction. So I don't know if I'm the one you're looking for with all the IP addresses and the large amounts of download, but I'm certainly a culprit.
Well, do you listen for do you listen for like 5 hours at a time?
No, it's usually a couple episodes, so it's usually 3 hours at a time.
Yeah, that's you. Okay. It's you.
Well, Steven, did you feel creeped out on last episode when Michael was trying to find you? Did that kind of creep you out? Like, oh, these people know where I'm at.
I'll be honest. I just had shoulder surgery. I had a bunch of reconstructive surgery done on my shoulder on Tuesday.
You were high.
So no, I'm actually today's my first day off the medication. I'm just trying to get my head back and yeah. I'm bound to a recliner and I'm sitting here doing some work and listening to the last LRN record and I was starting to doze off a little bit and I was. It's weird. I was jolted out of it by mentioning of, you know, we're looking for somebody in Overland Park, Kansas. And I thought, oh, shit, the radio's out to get me.
In Soviet Union, what is it? In Soviet Russia, podcast listens to you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Are we back yet?
Let me check on the server here.
Yeah, we are back. So we're back and we're talking to a fiend here. Named Steven from Kansas, talking about punk rock and Yeah, I went. I mean, I remember there were, when Reagan was president, there were so many punk rock bands that had songs against Reagan, and there was a festival traveling called Rock Against Reagan. And as soon as Clinton went into office, nobody was complaining about the government anymore. It was really strange. And like, that guy murdered people. That guy murdered people to take the attention away from his penis, you know?
Yeah, he also, well, like...
I think...
What?
Well, go ahead, Stephen.
I was going to say, from my perspective, I came on just at the end of the whole Reagan thing, but, you know, from my perspective, there were a lot of guys that were against... You know, it wasn't specifically against Reagan, but it was a big push against the government. Reagan happened to be the figurehead of the whole thing, but I guess I never saw it as against Reagan the man. It was against the government, and so I was doubly perplexed when Clinton came in as Bush came in. You know, there was still some stuff in Clinton, and then it all just kind of died away. And it's like, hey guys, it's still the government. What's going on here?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And people, not even punk rockers, but the hip hop community still makes songs hating on Reagan. And I got to give kudos to them because it's pretty great. Like, there's a new Killer Mike album that's really great. I do recommend it. And he's got a whole song about Reagan. The last words are, "I'm glad Reagan's dead." And kudos to you for that. But there's so much more tyranny now than there was in Reagan's
day. There is. They've really streamlined it. And, you know, I mean, just the idea of drones, for instance, but, you know, drones, wiretapping, the internet has opened up to, like, lots of spying. You know, if anyone believes in the Constitution, why aren't they complaining now? If anybody believes that war is bad, I mean, there's the discrepancy, and you can listen to anti-war radio, Scott Horton show. He goes on and on about this constantly about, you know, people were out in the street in mass against Bush for being a warmonger, and those same people, I mean, like, there's not a peep about Obama.
Well, yeah, but now it's illegal to protest. Look at Chicago.
Yeah, but they haven't really done that much about that yet. I mean, there's not, you know, there's not even people complaining. Why aren't the Obama fans complaining on the internet about it?
Because they're Obama fans. They're too excited about getting their free health care and the fantasies that Obama's going to forgive their student loan debt. Those kind of things, for some reason...
I think you're exactly right. The Obama fans are looking for the government intrusion in their life. They're publicly asking for the handouts and the welfare and things, and they're just, you know, I guess they're willing to tolerate all of the injustice and authoritarianism that comes with it.
As long as their backs are being scratched, they're going to look the other way. And I have liberal friends who will straight up tell me that to my face. I mean, not in so many words, but I've got a friend who, me and him used to bitch about the Bush administration all day long and about how awful it was that he was murdering all these people in the Middle East. And I talk to him now about the same kind of stuff. And I try to pin it on Obama, which Obama deserves a big part of that blame. And he'll say, yeah, well, you know, nowadays I'm just more looking inward. You know, if I can't pay my bills, I'm more concerned about what's going on in my life. It's like, no, you're just happy that you get to stay on your parents' insurance another year. So, I mean, it just seems completely disingenuous. And I guess it goes back to the old point about, you know, democracy fails when people realize they can vote themselves more money. And so I feel like Obama has just silenced any kind of anti-war criticism with his doling out of stolen money to his preferred supporters.
It's a bribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something cheerier, Stephen.
Cheerier? Yeah. Okay. Do you have any cheerful news for us, Stephen? Well, you're off the surgery meds, so that's good news, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, my head is clear once again. I have the fiends.
I don't know if that's necessarily clear head, having the fiends, but it's something to put in your head.
Clearer. Yeah, it was funny.
I have the fiends.
There you go.
Yeah,
Michael always says, throw somebody in a room with some drugs and the fiends and we'll convert them.
Yeah, in 24 hours. Yeah, do you know about our archive, freedomfiends.cz?
I do.
You can download every site there and put them on discs and put them in PVC pipe and bury them. So once they're illegal, you can dig them up and put them on carrier pigeons.
Well, you've already called me out for downloading too much. I think I might just tail off for a little while.
No, you're not downloading too much. You're downloading as much as you should. Other people aren't downloading enough because they're not downloading as much as you. And streaming isn't even download. No, nobody should worry about like, oh, am I going to cost the fiends money? No, we put all of our money into servers, and we will never run out of space.
Well, here's the thing. We got some fiend boots on the ground, apparently, in Kansas with Steven. You know, Kansas is one of those states you rarely hear anything about. I want to know, Steven, how do people feel about the state in Kansas? Are there a lot of people that are red statist, blue statist? I mean, what kind of pushback or horizontal enforcement do you get when you talk to your peers in Kansas about the ideas of liberty?
Kansas is as much of a Republican stronghold as you can possibly imagine. You know, there's every time the election comes around on the local news, we hear about how, especially in the presidential race, that the state of Kansas has overwhelmingly voted for the Republican candidate.
It's a lot like Wyoming, Nima, and it's two states over. It's not that much different. It even looks kind of like it, but no mountains.
Okay. But what about you in your personal life, Steven? I mean, when you try to, I mean, do you have family there or friends there? What happens when you try to talk to them about non-aggression and the state and the fact that, you know, just because somebody was elected to control you doesn't mean that they have the right, you know, morally to do it?
Well, and I have had some interesting conversations. You know, the one person who I'm closest to that's very politically active, or at least very politically astute, is my father-in-law, and he is a die-hard Republican, but he keeps, every time I talk to him about some of the libertarian side of it, the anarcho-capitalist, or even what Ron Paul is doing, he's always very receptive, and he at least takes it in. And even a couple of weeks, you know, you guys talk about dad spam all the time. I get just massive quantities of dad spam from my father-in-law, but even a couple of weeks ago, I got an email with a link to an Alex Jones video, and I about crapped myself. And I thought, all right, you know, finally he's seeing the light. And then, you know, just a couple of days later, I got some more anti-Obama Republican spam from him. And so the Alex Jones thing may have been a fluke, but
it's a start. I mean, my dad's going to vote for Ron Paul, which is pretty much of a movement towards liberty from someone who, you know, voted for Nixon and was proud of it, and voted for Reagan and was proud of it. He's 91. I'm not going to push him to become an anarchist. It'd probably break his brain at this point. You know, it's good enough that he's voting for Ron Paul. I'm not going to try to explain to him why voting is a bad idea.
I'd say it is slow process, especially with your family. And I've gotten at the point now where most of my family, they tend to say, yeah, well, we agree with you. I don't know if it's just because they're sick of arguing, but they'll say, yeah, we agree with you. Everything the government does is wrong, but there's nothing we can do about it, so we're just going to keep paying our taxes and try to avoid the government as much as possible within reason.
Steven, I just sent you a link to some printable stickers that I think Kansas would be a good candidate for stickers. And I'd never say anyone should put stickers anywhere that are illegal to put them. But, you know, stickers, I mean, you could print even as non-stickers, as cards, and hand them out that are QR codes, you know, like people can scan them on their smartphone. It's kind of anti-dad spam because dads don't know what to do with these, but the young people do, and they all right. have a smartphone. It's dad-proof spam.
Yeah, I was looking at those. Is there a sticker template or something?
I sent you a link to all of them, and one of them is a page, like a, you know, sticker paper size page.
Okay.
All right. It's good having you on, man. We're going to open it up for another caller after this break here. And thanks for calling in. Call in anytime, brother.
Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it.
Worms.
Thanks, man. Take it easy.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Tired of the false economy?
Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed Silver Dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends Silver Dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says Silver Dime Cards. That's freedomfiends.com.
And we just know where our listeners are. So,
yeah, and if you were using a VPN from the company that's not sponsoring us anymore, you would be showing up as coming from Prague.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
In Soviet Russia, podcast watches you.
There you go. Speaking of, you know, people using technology like that to better our lives, technology that the same that the state uses to make our lives worse. Did you read about the taco drones?
What? No, apparently not.
Well, in this article on USA Today, they're explaining, you know, sort of the future of drones. I think the article's called "The Drone Revolution." What's going to happen? That's the kind of gist of it. And one of the things is apparently there's a company. I think they're in California, and they've designed. Oh, in the Bay Area. Okay, so from your old stomping grounds, they've designed a drone that can deliver tacos to whatever GPS location tell them to deliver tacos.
Well, it's a quadricopter. It's not a drone.
I mean, it's still a drone, though. Yeah. It's an unmanned aerial vehicle, which is...
Well, and the thing about a drone that's different from a radio-controlled plane is a drone, you can preset GPS coordinates and actions to do. You know, it can either bomb that coordinate or bring it a taco, and it can return to the base afterwards or go to another base. Drones also have an override where they can radio control them. But, yeah, they're a little different than radio-controlled airplanes or helicopters.
Right. I just hope on their taco menu, once this does get off the ground, no pun intended, would be to have a taco called the Hellfire Missile Taco.
The Hellfire.
It could be very spicy. Or the Squirter.
What?
To
deliver the sauce for your taco?
Yeah, there you go. Well, no, apparently that was a term that some drone operators, an unofficial term they gave for the people who are running away or flying away from the explosion whenever they drop a drone missile. They call them squirters, people either fleeing or being flung from the force of the blast.
Oh, yeah, because they're squished like bugs.
Yeah.
Fucking so, humans. Humans are evil, man. Most of them, a lot of them. Do you like this picture of me that Christopher Grissom made of me flying and like riding a drone like a cowboy riding a horse, holding a snub-nosed revolver in my hand and smiling?
Yes, it's very excellent.
He took the picture of me sitting on the Du Bois
jackalope.
Wyoming jackalope, where you could pay a dollar and sit on the jackalope. And there's a picture of me, and there's also one of you on your Facebook, but you're not holding a gun. So
you finally made mine.
No, there's a picture of you on that jackalope.
On the jackalope, yeah. That's true.
It's like, you know, there's not a lot to do in Wyoming. So driving 4 hours to pay a dollar and be photographed sitting on a fake jackalope, giant jackalope in front of an American flag is, you know, something everyone does here eventually.
It really is.
Isn't it? I mean, come on,
I knew quite a few people in Wyoming that had a picture of themselves sitting on that same jackalope.
What if they clean it? What if you could get like crotch crabs from the jackalope?
Crotch crabs.
That's crotch disgusting. Crabs.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of that, did you see that meme that was picking a presidential candidate this year is kind of like picking which STD I would like.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. I also want to mention that we're now taking donations. If you want to make donations to the Freedom Fiends, you can go click on the spinning coin on any post on freedomfiends.com and make a one-time donation via PayPal or set up a monthly automatic donation of as low as $3 a month or up to $100 a month. Boy, I'd like one of those.
Yeah, and if you don't mind us talking about you, we'll talk about how awesome you are if you do that.
Let us know when you send us an email or a Facebook notice that let us know whether you want if you don't say anything, we won't mention you, but if you want to be mentioned by name, first name or full name, let us know.
Yeah. Or if you can just call us and say it live on the air that you'd like to give us a donation. Yeah. Our number is 307-215-5171. No gun to your head here. Everything's voluntary.
For now. Till we for now. Till the fiends get more
until,
power.
Yeah. Until Michael has his libertarian re-education camps he's so fond of talking about.
I'm kidding, man. Man, I like this Reuben sure mic. This are. Reuben mic sounds sexy. I think you should hook up your Reuben mic.
Talk real close to it. That's how you get it to sound real sexy.
I'm talking really close to the Reuben mic. There yeah, man. There you go. Anarchy is sexy.
Is it?
Fiend like phone. Anarchy? Fiend phone.
This is the central scrutinizer.
Fiend phone. Fiend
somebody
phone.
Wants you to stop making love to the mic, so they're calling
phone.
In.
Fiend phone.
Yeah. Damn it.
Fiend phone.
Hello, Fiend.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Admiral Crunch.
This is the central scrutinizer. Hello, Admiral Crunch.
So I suppose you're the superior officer to Captain Crunch, would that be the case?
Well, of course. Seriously, it's not.
Chris Grisham is calling in, and I'm going to say he should call in after this, but he was probably turned down because he's probably thinking he's going to get on right now. So talk there. Talk there, Crunch. What's up, Crunch?
Well, there's two things I wanted to say. First of all, Michael, I was wondering if you ever heard of a website called cashcats.biz?
No, I stay away from the .biz TLD. It just is all scary. What is it?
Well, basically, it's just photos that are a collection of cats posing with money and often with guns.
Huh.
That's actually Catcash.biz,
you say?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Okay, let me look at it now.
Aww.
Yeah.
They're all posing with Federal Reserve notes. None of them are posing with gold or silver, though.
I'm sure you could upload some.
Yeah, I should upload some.
Catcash.biz?
Cashcat.
Yep. Cashcat, okay.
Cashcats, plural.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are posing with, euros or Canadian money, if that sounds better.
This site's awesome.
Yeah, like it is an awesome site.
I like the one with the $100 bills and the cats that look passed out and the bottle of empty bottle of champagne.
Yeah. Although on one of the gun ones, they broke the rules of gun safety because the guns are actually pointed at the cat. So I would try to point those away from the cat. Maybe they wanted to destroy their cat, so I don't know. Maybe they're not.
There's some
the
of cats chewing on money. I don't think I'd let cats chew on money. There's one of a cat, it looks like he's high, with a bunch of guns and money. That one's funny. Cashcats.biz. Submit pics. There you go.
Nice. Nice.
We'll bookmark that for later. So what else is new?
Oh, the other thing was just something I wanted to ask Nima if he looked into those movie podcasting websites I recommended.
I haven't yet, and I do apologize, but I do plan on it. I don't know if you heard the conversation between me and Miles, Michael, but what was the name of the site again? We Hate Movies or something like that, where these guys basically rip into movies. And I definitely do want to take a look at that. My father-in-law has been in the hospital for back surgery, so I haven't had a whole lot of downtime the past few days. But I will check it out. But while you're on the air, any particular reason you wanted to point these guys out to me?
Well, first of all, I made a bit of a screw-up on that. It's not we8movies.com. The website is whmpodcast.com.
Ah.
I don't know where that might have led. But yeah, the major reason why I point these guys and the other outfit, It's That Bad out, is because, well, It's That Bad especially. I've done a lot of consulting on the subject of firearms with It's That Bad.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The site reviews a lot of really dumb popcorn movies like Twister and Spawn.
So it's kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, but audio only.
Oh, yes, very much so. One of the things I was just going to say about It's That Bad is that they love the tourist judge on that show.
They're stupid, nice. Man. They're stupid.
Why? You don't like the tourist judge?
They're not making fun of it.
Because it works as a .45, but it's huge. It's just a cool gun that doesn't live up to its name. It holds so few shot pellets that it's like it barely penetrates a pizza box at 20 feet, man.
What, shooting with a .410 in general?
Yeah, well, .410 that you have to modify and have shorter and less pellets in it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I want to recommend a film called The Darwin Awards. It's friggin' great, and it's got like two of the Arquettes you've never heard of, David Arquette, and then like one you've even like Richmond Arquette, whoever that is. Good movie though. Good movie.
Okay.
Oh, I love that movie.
Published. You seen it? You seen the Darwin Awards movie?
One is published.
Oh yeah, that scene at the rock concert where they go over the cliff.
Yes. Yes, that's a good movie, man. I like.
Is it a fiction or is it like the Darwin Awards book? It's where it's based it's real
on
stories.
It's based on the movie. It's a guy whose hobby is giving spoilers. Away his plots here. Yeah, what do you call him? Whatever you call him. It's a guy who he's obsessed with the Darwin Awards, and he's a criminal profiler for the San Francisco police, and he gets fired because someone gets away, but he's really good at like. Determining who's going to exhibit Darwin Award type behavior. So he goes and talks himself into a job at an insurance company, like letting them know who's uninsurable because they're likely to commit Darwin Award type behavior and like denying claims because, you know, something looked like product problems or something, but you know, they didn't find out that the guy strapped a jet engine to the back of his car and went 300 miles an hour into a mountain, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And
trying to save their lives.
And that kind of stuff is based on actual Darwin Award events. But the movie is fictitious and it stars Winona Ryder and Joseph Fiennes, David Arquette, Juliette Lewis, Chris Penn, who's dead now. It's a really cute little movie. I liked it.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. So you hate the judge, but you love the Darwin Awards. Is that the takeaway?
The movie and the awards. Yeah. Oh, and there's a really, really good cameo in it. The guy who buys the jet rocket from the Army surplus store that has like, you know, RPGs and full auto machine guns and jet engines in it. That store is owned by two guys played by the guys from the Mythbusters.
Oh, nice. Oh yeah.
Brilliant cameo casting.
Yeah, the Mythbusters actually, for their very first show, replicated that rocket car experiment and found that it wouldn't actually send you flying into a mountain. It would send your car up to like 300 miles an hour, though.
Nice.
And it also has Lawrence Ferlin Getty, the beat poet, in it with a cameo, which is really strange and cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was Chris Penn's last movie before he died, too.
Okay.
Who?
Chris Penn, Sean Penn's younger, fatter, less talented brother.
Is he also less status than Sean Penn?
I hope so. Yeah, I think he's just kind of like a guy that likes to have a good time. I mean, he died of drugs, so.
Ah,
okay. And I'm sure his brother wanted to like have the government prevent that from ever happening again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One way of looking at it.
Are we back yet? I'm going to open it up here for other callers.
Righty-o.
If that's cool. Thanks for calling,
Miles.
Worms, Miles.
Right, worm.
Peace.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tyler Lindholm.
Hey, Tyler. Yeah, I interviewed Tyler on the Anarchy Gumbo podcast about the weird crap that the GOP pulled in Wyoming to keep Ron Paul out. But you got some updates on some similar tyranny today, don't you there, Tyler? What's up?
I do. As you guys know, from the Anarchy Gumbo podcast, I was elected as a national alternate delegate. So I'll be going to Tampa on the 25th. Anyways, I got a list of items not allowed at the Republican National Convention. Some of them are pretty wild. The first and foremost is weapons or replicas of weapons, so no concealed carry at the Republican National Convention. So much for the Second Amendment. It goes on, though. No baseballs.
What about cameras? No umbrella. Is cameras on there?
No. You can't have camcorders or cameras.
So you can't exercise the First or Second Amendment at the GOP convention?
Right.
Okay. What else? Wow.
It goes on. Like, if you're a baby and you're a delegate, you're not welcome because there's no strollers.
If you're a baby or if you have a baby.
There's no strollers? Wow. Or if you have a baby, strollers. Apparently.
So the pro family party doesn't want your family to come with you.
Apparently.
Correct.
poles and sticks, laser lights, coolers, so no tailgating, I guess.
Wow.
Whole fruit. I guess they know why. No whole fruit.
Whole fruit? Oh, so they Partial don't get fruit, thrown at cool. the goons.
You have to slice your tomatoes. You can't
Before you throw them.
Before you throw them. Okay.
Containers of any type, to include aerosols and whatnot. Whistles or noisemakers. Banners and signs. Apparently, they recognize the Ron Paul crowd with that one.
Banners, signs, and whistles are not allowed at a political convention. When I think of political conventions, I think of banners, signs, and whistles and noisemakers.
Right. Well, maybe they have approved banners, signs, and
Well, I guess, the party doesn't want you to party anymore. They want to have a very solemn, controlled...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. This sounds like a pretty boring convention.
How about marijuana? Do they allow marijuana? Do they forbid it?
Actually, they don't say anything about that. Well, or hookers. So apparently that's okay.
Coke and hookers. Well, you know, that's what's driven the Republican Party since its inception.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to lose our roots here. flashlights. And then it specifically mentions camcorders and large cameras.
Do you think
small cameras are cool?
Do you think you'll be, you'll still be a delegate now that you've read this on the air and commented on it?
You know, yeah, maybe. I hope so. I didn't say my name was Tyler Lindholm. Tyler Lindholm, did I?
Tyler Lindholm.
You did. So, what's sort of the plan there from somebody who is a delegate? What's the plan for the Ron Paul delegates? Is there going to be any kind of strategy, or are you guys just coming along to see the train wreck there?
Well, at this point, campaign itself for Ron Paul hasn't released really anything on what their actual plan is. They keep henting an email saying that there are plans and we'll release
Is he still running? Closer. I'm not trying to stir crap by saying that, but is he still running?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, okay. He's challenging the states of Maine, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Louisiana for those delegates right now.
Huh. Okay. Didn't he win one place, like Puerto Rico or something?
I think it was the Virgin Islands.
Virgin Islands. Well, yeah, because that's a bunch of rich people that want to take drugs and have hookers.
Right. That's my kind of crowd, I think. as far as what the campaign's up to, though, I mean, they're keeping it kind of hush-hush. But there is something that the Wyoming State GOP that is doing that's really kind of made me chuckle the other day, and I really, really hope part of the executive committee for the GOP is listening, because what a
they're not
a whole move. Yeah,
they hate us.
You know, you could send them an you could send them an email when we put this up on the web in a couple hours if you want.
There you go.
That would be there we go. What they're doing is we've got this Bay Cruise that Arch Cole, I believe it was, paid for the entire Wyoming delegation to go on, which is really cool, right? We get to go on a Bay Cruise, really neat. But they changed the time to 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. It was going to be in the afternoon, but what's going on at that time on Sunday? It's the Ron Paul Festival. So,
Where do you go on a Bay Cruise in Wyoming? Alcova Reservoir?
No, it's for when they're at the convention.
Okay, in Florida.
Right,
okay, gotcha.
Right.
I thought it was
Keyhole in Wyoming.
Yeah, what?
We got Keyhole Reservoir.
There you go. Yellowstone Lake.
Or Boyson.
Boyson.
Yeah.
Boyson. So I guess what I'm wondering is a few months ago, Lou Rockwell on one of his podcasts was sort of advising people to maybe even just not go, or if you do go, don't wear your Ron Paul paraphernalia. Don't make it obvious, because I guess he had sort of a fear or a worry that the party hacks and the goons sort of there would be harassing the Ron Paul people. Do you have any kind of worry about being harassed? Are you going to, you know, be wearing your Ron Paul shirt? Are you guys going to be in there in force, or is this going to be more of a low key kind of watching what's going on kind of thing?
As of right now, the campaign hasn't really said go at them or anything like that, boys. But as for me, myself and all the other Ron Paul alternate delegates that I know of, I can't see any of us being the back down type. I think it's going to be a kind of a come at me bro attitude. You know, I don't think we're sending any chumps to Tampa.
Awesome.
So Lou Rockwell, I really respect a lot of the stuff he writes, and I think he's a genius for a lot of the stuff he puts down on paper. But as far as looking out for the crowd and stuff. You know, as long as we don't break any laws and any or anything like that, we've got a damn good chance in court, I think. I'm not saying that we won't get arrested. You know, I mean, that's kind of been their modus operandi lately, but I think we'll be cool. Okay. I don't plan on backing down. I plan on wearing my Ron Paul gear.
Right, right. Well, I really hope, even though there is restrictions against camcorders or something, it seems like there could be some loopholes in the wordplay there. I mean, I kind of feel like if they are harassing Ron Paul people, it should be documented in some way with camera phones or, you know, helmet cams, like those HD pros or whatever you can do. I kind of feel like if you got for the
helmet
message.
Helmet cams, man. I think you should wear a helmet.
Something.
Make it harder for them, their goons, to beat you up for being Ron Paul supporters, too. That's happened
a
few places.
Not only that, but to show the world how much the GOP really hates the liberty message, because they do. And there are people out there who think that Republican equals more freedom, and it just doesn't in any sense.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I like you mentioned, with phones, I mean, this is the year of the smartphone. I mean, everybody out there has got the ability to take video and take cameras. I mean, high resolution. So I don't think the camcorder thing is really going to work out for them.
Yeah, I hope not.
I've got a smartphone, and anything goes down that's a little bit shady or we're getting harassed or anything like that, I don't have a problem putting it in somebody's face.
Anything that's not smart, you'll catch on your smartphone.
That's it. I got an immediate upload to Facebook and YouTube, so keep your eyes peeled.
So while they're beating you and taking your phone, it'll be uploaded.
Yeah. Right, right. Actually, there's some really good apps out there for the smartphone where you can record. As soon as you push the record button, it goes to just a blank screen, so it doesn't actually look like you're recording anything.
Ooh.
Excellent.
Is that called the Cop Block app?
No. Well, I don't know. Does Cop Block have an app?
No, but they should.
That would be a good app for them. This one, it's called OpenWatch, and they've got a server that it direct downloads to as soon as it's done recording or the power's turned off, what have you. There's another one by the ACLU of New Jersey that also has a similar type app.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Are there any apps that will upload your video directly, like almost sort of a streaming thing? That way it doesn't just get on the hard drive or the memory of the phone, but it actually will be stored offsite?
Right, the OpenWatch app is what it's called. We'll do exactly that.
Excellent.
And I'd have to look at it directly to see.
Well, we're going into a break here. We're going to open it up for some more callers. Really appreciate you calling, Tyler. Call anytime you want.
Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Peace.
Worms.
All right, bye.
Yeah. Whenever we get a call from 307, I'm like, oh, no, someone in Wyoming knows I'm here. But he's one of the good ones.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they've caught me.
Fiends live.
Worms.
We're back from the break, and we got more fiends for the ass. And if you want to be a part of that, give us a call at 307-215-5171. I think to start off this segment, Michael has some tech news you can use.
Yeah, it's a combination of a complaint and a tip. I edit our podcast using a program called Sony SoundForge, which actually used to be made by someone else before Sony bought it up. And Sony's doing the typical thing Sony does, where they kind of bloatware it and like put out new versions that have stuff that doesn't help you and just makes it harder to use. And I actually recently went from version 8 to version 9 and had to go back to version 8 because there's this really cool thing you can do in SoundForge, which is just like put a marker somewhere, you know, like you just hit an M on the keyboard and it puts a little marker and you can find stuff quickly again.
Yeah.
And
you used to use that to edit out cussing when we were trying to not cuss, which I don't know where we're at in that now. So
yeah. And what I use it for now is for things like, you know, we record these live shows in segments and stop recording when the commercials come on. And then I put the commercials that we have just for this in later and put in like our breaks and our announcements and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, bring the files in, change the bit rate, you know, make them like they should be, because Mumble records at a weird bit rate and a weird sampling rate, but you know, I'd make them like they should be. And then, I'd put the markers in and then sew it all together, do all that conversion. And then, you know, I'd do things like put an ad in and it would move the markers over time in the timeline. Like they weren't locked to a particular event like they were in version 8, you know, so I couldn't find where the breaks were. So if you've noticed the last like 5 or 6 episodes of this, and to a lesser extent of the Wednesday casts, like if you notice the breaks came in really weird places, like in the middle of a sentence.
I did notice that with the last Anarchy Gumbo with you and Ben Quaker.
It was because I couldn't find where the breaks were. And I looked for all sorts of things in the settings and checked all sorts of like, you know, forum boards on the internet. And nobody, I don't think, not only there wasn't an answer of like where to change this, it was like they changed it. They screwed it up and made it worse in the update. So I had to like uninstall it and go back to version 8. And, you know, it doesn't have that problem. So,
okay.
And hopefully we'll see today, but hopefully.
So basically, if you're a fan of markers, use version 8, not version 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You had you have a fantasy you want someone to make come true. What is it?
I had a fantasy, man. Yeah. Yeah. I guess this is akin to my, or in the same vein as my fantasies of living on the moon or Antarctica. you know, in space, right? They have environment suits. So I feel like we should have on Earth environment suits that'll protect you from the vacuum of statist ideology or the moral vacuum of the statist. So,
you want
kind of like a killdozer, but that you could walk in.
So you want a suit that kind of declares there is a 6-foot radius of sovereignty everywhere I go.
We don't even have to go 6 feet. We can go the pretty culturally accepted 2-foot personal space bubble, right? So a suit that you know, they try to drone you, it's fine. It's impervious to hellfire missiles. They try to tell you to pull over and write you a ticket, not going to happen.
I think it'd be hard to have sex wearing that suit, though.
Yeah. Maybe we could do like an interface like in Demolition Man where you'd have virtual sex in your brain. I don't know.
That's not sounding more free to me.
You could invite somebody into your environment suit.
Yeah.
It'd have a fuck hole in the crotch area. Fuck hole.
Yeah. Not FCC friendly, the fiends.
I feel like, you know, I guess that's every libertarian's fantasy is I want to make it happen now. I want to be free. I want to do whatever the hell I want to do as long as I'm not violating the non-aggression principle. And I don't want there to be any way for the statists to F with me, you know.
Well, you know, I always change the episode name after I say what it's going to be at the beginning. Maybe it's not going to be a nematode of liberty that bores into your brain. Maybe this
is going to be a fuckhole of liberty.
It's going to be a fuckhole of liberty. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I must say that the more I learn about liberty and anarchy, and it is a process, you know, I mean, it was a major thing when I first became libertarian, but I was still kind of statist. And it was a major thing when I went from minarchist to anarchist about a year ago. But I still, and we're coming up next week is our 100th episode. So we've come a long way, baby. You can listen to the first episode and hear me talking about, well, I know, but if you don't vote, what'll happen? You need to vote for Ron Paul. And
although to your credit, you never use the roads argument, thank God.
No.
You're never. Nima, what about our roads?
No, because even when I was still talking about voting for people, I was like convinced that eventually we wanted a stateless society, but I was deluded to think that we could get there by voting. I was an incrementalist anarchist, but I was kind of looking like a minarchist because I was still talking about that crap. Mm-hmm. But I lost my plot there, man. We went down too many wormholes.
Too many wormholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you can tell when somebody is going to eventually get it and when not.
I know what I was going to say.
Okay, go for it.
I was going to basically say that, like, but it is a process, you know? I mean, even you don't – it's kind of like AA. I use that as an analogy a lot. You know, like, the day you become sober and stay sober in AA – isn't the day you become the most recovered you're ever going to be. You know, someone who's been sober and working in an AA program for 10 years is a lot saner generally and more recovered of a person than someone who's got one day sober. They're usually nuts.
Of course.
You know, they don't know how to deal with life using those principles. And anarchy is a principled program like AA, Anarchy Anonymous, like Alcoholics Anonymous. And you learn more every day. You know, you don't become the Fiends or Ben Quaker overnight. And you know, we're not as recovered as Lou Rockwell yet, you know, but we will be one day. We're more fun. But and as the more you learn and the more you brainwash yourself by listening to everything on the Daily ANCAP or dailyancap.com, which is a great resource, and I'm glad someone finally did that, because now, like, I don't have to send people to 20 different things when they give me the Rhodes argument. I'll just send them the link to dailyancap.com and then just say, fuck you, and block them if they don't love it. Yeah. So the more you learn about all this stuff, like, the harder it is to look at the society and not go, you know?
Really?
Everything's tyrannical. Everything. Not everything, but like, I can't read a newspaper anymore. I can barely watch TV, let alone the news. I could barely watch a movie, you know, because there's always like some kind of like, and then the police rode in and saved him from the rapist, or, you know, and
exactly. Like, cops are always the good guys.
You know, which really I just look at as some guys with guns showed up and helped someone who didn't bother to carry a gun. You know, it doesn't have to be the police.
Except those guys with guns stole the money to pay for their guns.
I know.
And their salary.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, even saying stuff like that now, I guess we have to say it for the new listener, but it's kind of like, you know, I kind of feel like we're in our second year of college here, and that's kindergarten. So I don't even like to say it anymore. And we're making, I mean, I'm not telling you not to say it, but it's like, I don't even have to say that. It's just a fact, you know? And but most of the world doesn't know that's a fact. And it's mind blowing to me. And not only can't I watch TV, it's like I can't talk to most humans for 5 minutes because they're going to say something stupid and statist.
It's funny that you say it's kindergarten, because I think it's even pre-kindergarten. Like, it is in, I think, our natural law, as Ben Quaker would say. And I've got more to talk about on that thought, but I think we're going to have to save that for in a little bit. LRN Feed's got to go pay the bills here. So go ahead and stick with us on Freedom Fiends Live, please.
Worms.
Like ran over or injured or something very mean and cruel, and it was wrong. Ugh. And my dad fired me, and my dad should have fired me. Yeah. And I learned a lesson from it. You know, I didn't get a free ride because my dad owned the place.
Yeah, I didn't record any of that. I just started recording. So if anyone's listening on the the later feed,
Nemo was a bad boy, and his dad fired him from a job for it.
We're talking about child labor and the non-aggression principle in children.
Fiend phone.
Yeah.
Fiend phone.
Here's someone going to save me from that bad.
Fiend phone. Oh. Fiend phone.
Hello, Ben Quaker. How are you?
Hey, I kept hearing you guys talking about me. I figured I better say something.
Are you using your good microphone? It sounds like you are.
Yeah. Good. Except I have an air conditioner screaming behind me.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. What's up?
Hey, I can't hear Nima.
Nima,
oh,
talk.
I'm here. Can you hear me? Oh, talk. Okay,
he wasn't talking.
I had a flashback to the early days of a few months ago when we could only hear one at a time.
Nah, yeah. It's all working. Nima's just reticent.
I'm not reticent, but speaking of you saying the air conditioning is screaming, I don't hear it at all. And I remember in some of your earlier casts, you would always give a disclaimer about the background noise, but you sounded fine. So I think the background noise is a lot more salient to you than it is to the listener. Yeah.
Well, and ribbon mics are made to work in like factories, and you know they're made for like dictators speaking on balconies, so they cancel out the sound from around the corner.
Yeah. In fact, if you are too far from your ribbon mic, I wouldn't even hear you. There's a big proximity effect for ribbon mics.
I feel like I am a dictator on the platform. I'm looking out the window at the squirrels, and I'm chanting libertarianism to them, and other people happen to be listening.
Speaking of squirrels, our local Cub Foods is shutting down. They were my previous source of peanuts for my squirrels. So my wife went in there today and bought like, 70 pounds of peanuts? So we're ready for the apocalypse.
You're ready for the peanut apocalypse, the squirrel apocalypse.
Speaking of that, that reminds me of something I had wanted to ask you, Ben. What is your diet like? Because when you were talking with Michael, you were saying, you know, I avoid them because I avoid, you know, most
Chick-fil-A.
Bread when I can.
Chick-fil-A.
Because they're a bread-based menu. Are you guys into the whole...
That was Dale, wasn't it? Or did Ben also say that, Ben?
I think, said it.
Yeah. Okay. I think Ben said it. And I was going to ask you, Ben, you're a pretty wise guy. I not wise guy like
you're a great
Stooges,
man.
But you're a wise person. And you've been around the block for a while. What kind of things do you think are healthy to eat? What do you avoid? What do you eat?
I like the concepts that are being kicked around with the paleo people, the okay. caveman stuff.
That's what I thought.
To a large degree, philosophically, I'm not disciplined enough to really follow through on all that stuff. But from a philosophical point of view, I can see through history that the state has consistently used grain of one kind or another to control the slaves. They have since day one, mm-hmm. and I also see that. The massive monocropping growing of grains is horrible on the environment.
Yeah.
And so, and then in addition to that, from a personal standpoint, you know, I could really stand to lose like about 40 pounds. Also, I don't handle wheat products all that well.
I was just laughing because I was thinking the three of us could lose some weight. Maybe we should sit down and create a Liberty diet and write a book and make $1 million.
Hey, there you go.
And push Liberty at the same time because weight loss books are one of the perennial bestsellers in how-to books.
Well, Karen DeCoster and who's the guy she always links to? The guy that does Mark's Daily Apple. I forget his last name, but there is a lot of libertarian-esque writing on the kind of diet that people who are anti-state and anti the government food pyramid should follow. And it is it is what Ben was talking about kicking around that idea of the paleo diet, which is basically avoid grains and any kind of things that started with the mass state-promoted cultivation of, you know, monoculture agriculture.
Yeah. There's a book called, Rats. And I can't even remember the name.
No, rats. It's not called It's about eating rats.
It's about this rat.
The rat diet.
And his owner named Willard. No. The Art of Not Being Governed by...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really want to read that, but I don't remember
the author. Yeah, it's really difficult to read. The writer is a brilliant man, but he's not a good writer. But he talks about certain types of grains, like specifically rice in Southeast Asia. There are types of rice that grow very well up in the mountains in non-paddy form. And are we having music coming in?
Yeah, we're on a break, but
we'll keep recording.
Ah. Why don't you stay until the end of the show? I'll say that while people can't hear it, so they won't just go away if they're trying to call in. But
yeah.
We like you.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got 15 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Keep talking. We're recording.
Oh, that's right. There are actually people that are going to hear this.
Yeah.
James C. Scott, Michael C. Scott, James C. Scott. I think it's James C. Scott. Nor was that an actor.
George C. Scott.
George C. Scott's
the actor. What's the book called? Because people can just Google the title.
The Art of Not Being Governed.
That was it. Yeah, yeah. And so there's a specific grain of rice that's grown that really takes to that being grown in the mountains.
That will free you from the tyranny. What's the anti-tyranny rice called? That's what I want to know.
But it grows very well under wild conditions up in the mountains. And so you can literally harvest it during, you know, as it's growing wild, harvest it. Save 10% of your harvest, scatter it back in the same area, and come back the next like 4 months because it doesn't take a full year. It's like 4 months or whatever it is, and harvest it again. And then it's not even really a planting process. They just toss it around. And so
nice.
The wonderful thing about that in dealing with the state was that the people who were living outside of the state in Southeast Asia all the way up until the last generation or so, they could continually move around. When their village would get found by the state, they would just pack up everything and walk off because the whole village is made out of bamboo.
So it's nomad rice.
Yeah, and everywhere
stateless
they went.
Stateless rice.
there's a tuber that's very similar to a sweet potato, and it's the same way. It just grows wild. And so when they find it, they'll harvest a bunch of it and then put some back.
Hemp's
and
the then same when way. They come back
Hemp. Through, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So they could live both an agricultural life and a nomadic life. Nomadic being only when they absolutely needed to, when the state figured out where they were.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I've tried to do the paleo thing, but it can be tough because my wife is a vegetarian. So a lot of the food she eats, she understands that grain is not always the best thing for her, but she has more of a restriction for the killing of animals. And there was a cast you did called Animal Rights, and I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I really hope to listen to it some point in the near future. But I guess that's always been my problem, is I'm trying to balance her needs as a moral vegetarian and my desires as somebody who wants to eat less grains.
Yeah.
So I think the best I've come up with thus far, and she's cool with this, is me being what we've termed a huntitarian. So because she's fine with me killing, as long as I kill the animal, she doesn't see anything wrong with me eating it, as long as I got my hands bloody. And so I think in essence what I want to do is end up catching all the meat that I eat, although in Texas, you know, it's not always as easy. You got to wait for certain seasons, you got to make sure you're properly licensed and pay your extortion money, and I just haven't gotten around to all that yet.
Is her problem with meat primarily with the meat industry then?
Yes, yes. Her problem is, you know, giant factory farms.
Right.
You know, the idea that, for instance, with chickens, that they're sort of grown and live in the same 1 foot by 1 foot stomping grounds for the 3 weeks that they're alive and then slaughtered. She finds that to be morally, I don't know what the word is, detestable, at least in her mind, as far as that kind of thing. But as far as, and I guess the other thing is she feels like there's some doublethink in the fact that there are people that think, you know, there are liberals out there that are like, you know, hunting is wrong, but they'll go and you know, eat at KFC or whatever restaurant they're at. They'll go eat the factory farm thing. She wants people to understand that if you're eating an animal, you're somehow responsible for its death. So she feels like hunters are much more transparent about that, and so she has a lot more respect for them.
We're back on the Freedom Fiends, and we're talking to Ben Stone of Bad Quaker Podcast, and we're just going to ride out the next 10, 15 minutes with him because he's brilliant and has a good microphone. You know, you get to stay on here longer if you call in and you sound really good. Yes, go on.
Aha. Uh-huh. Nima was talking about the morality of eating factory meat, so to speak, meat produced through the factory processes of, cramming chickens on top of chickens on top of chickens and harvesting them half the time with their wings and legs broken and all the grotesque aspects of the meat market and the immorality of it.
You know, there's a bunch of people right now listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. I mean, the Freedom Fiends radio feed. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they're not over listening to this live, but they're listening to that. And right now what's playing is the first Anarchy Gumbo. So you're playing there as well as here.
I'm everywhere.
Maybe you're playing on the, somewhere else too.
Well, yeah. What are your thoughts? I mean, I definitely respect your point of view. So what are your thoughts on, the factory meat industry and in general, the American diet?
Well, you know, when I think about it, my mind goes in two different directions. One, I suppose I do this on most things. I try to look at it, the practical aspects, and I try to look at it, the moral aspect. Mm-hmm. And on the practical aspect of it, I think, for however long humans have existed, you know, in the form that we are, we have eaten certain foods a certain way, which is when it comes to animals, we have eaten mostly animals that have had very little exposure to things like cages and things like this. So it's logical that if we suddenly take a major aspect of our diet and expose that aspect of our diet to a dramatically different environment than it's ever experienced in history, and we overproduce it under really, really unnatural circumstances, then there's going to be repercussions to us eating that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a pig, for instance, that lives in the wild, or even a pig that lives on a farm under traditional farming methods that are thousands of years old, that pig has a fairly comfortable, happy life until the day that they, harvest it. Mm-hmm. But a pig in a factory pig farm is a horrible existence for the short, brutal life that it lives. It's just miserable. And so from a practical point of view, there has to be repercussions for that actions. On a moral view, I've gone into kind of more detail than I would be able to right here in the time we've got, but I think that there are natural laws that guide each species, and so the natural laws of the bee are completely different than the natural laws of, say, a lion or a snake, and you can't expect a killer whale to live by the same natural laws as a butterfly. So right. So we can't logically apply the moral and the ethical laws that we put upon humans and then try to bend those and say, okay, so now we have to treat a chicken as our equal and never harm it or never aggress upon it or anything. So I don't go in that direction. On the other hand, as an intelligent human, we have a responsibility not to be cruel to lesser animals, if there's any way to avoid it. So, for instance, in a hunting situation, I would want to make sure that I had a clean kill. A clean kill is as quickly and painlessly as possible out of respect for the other animal, not so much because I'm a moral human being and that's a moral animal and I have to apply the same morals. You know, a lion is not an evil, sinful monster because it eats a gazelle. Mm-hmm. It's doing exactly what its nature is. And so a human who eats a chicken is doing exactly what it's within his nature to do. But a human who tolerates unnecessary cruelty to that animal, I don't like that. And I, on a practical basis, I think there's going to be repercussions for that. And we see it in an obese population, right, and a population that doesn't really know what it takes to put food on the table. It's negative in every direction.
Okay.
Did I answer?
You did. I definitely appreciate that. And if you will indulge me one more time, I do have one other question I've been itching to ask you. It is kind of an amazing thing that I can listen to your podcast and any question that pops into my mind, I know I'll be able to ask you at some point. So I do appreciate you calling in.
I talked to Ben on the phone about
Michael just calls you.
I talk to him every other day for like an hour a day. I'm probably bugging him at this point.
And Nima, you can call me too, really.
Oh, sure. I might.
You're one of the chosen few.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Nima, but, Ben hates people. He doesn't want to talk to people, but he'll let us talk to him.
All right, fair enough. Hopefully we have enough time for this. If not, then maybe I can ask you some other time. But I was listening to your Great Man Theory podcast, or rather your deconstruction of the Great Man Theory. And the thing that I guess stuck out in my mind is, for you as a Quaker, where does Jesus fall into that? Is that something you have to reconcile? Because, I mean, I guess Jesus theologically wasn't a man. He was the Son of God. But how do you reconcile Jesus? Was Jesus a great man? Was Jesus just the Son of God?
That was the contradiction I forgot to ask you about.
Well, I did it for you.
Thank you. Was like, you know, you're saying we can't have the great man theory. And I'm like, you're a Christian. Don't you think Jesus was a great man, or is he the only great man, or how's that work, man? Man.
Well, I have a strong echo that just came in. Do you guys hear that?
No, it's the central scrutinizer. Just
no, play, okay, I'll no work cop outs here, it. Ben. Go for
just
it.
Just play through
Give
it.
Give us an answer.
Play through the pain.
Keeping in mind that the great man theory applies to government, so there might still be a great man in baseball or basketball or whatever that's outstanding that you can use as an example of leadership or change the game or whatever. In the case of government, Jesus was taken, and we're assuming in this that the entire Jesus story is true, just for the sake of conversation.
Right.
But Jesus was taken up on a mountain and tempted with the glory of the state. All the empires in history were laid before him and given offered to him. Here, you can be the leader of all of the state, and he refused it.
See, I would have taken that and fixed it.
You would use the state to fix
That's
the state.
That's why Jesus is a greater man than you, Michael.
But Jesus turned down the temptation to literally become the great man, and very shortly after that, he was killed by the very organization, that he was tempted to lead.
Like JFK. So,
yeah. So, except maybe more painful. So in a sense, in every way, Jesus did everything in his life to avoid being the great man. Every time that they would, there was one spot where he said that he perceived that the crowd would take him and make him a king. And so he took off and left him, got away from him.
That's why the Romans wrote King of the Jews mockingly on the top of the crucifix, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they put a purple robe around him as they beat him, too. It was to mock the royalty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so that's in the 3-minute version, Jesus was literally doing everything possible to prove that Herbert Spencer was right, even though Herbert Spencer never believed in Jesus in his whole life.
Okay. You know, there's something that's commonly attributed to Herbert Spencer, but it was actually someone else, I think. The AA book attributes it to Herbert Spencer, misattributes it. It's the saying, contempt prior to investigation. And that's a really good term for what a lot of people do, especially statists who bash libertarianism or anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Dead air.
So basically, because Jesus, I guess he didn't abdicate the throne, but because he never had it. But your argument is that since Jesus never wanted to be the great man, that everybody followed and took everything he said as marching orders, then he isn't the great man that you were, I guess, saying was not something you want to follow when you were podcasting.
Yeah, and then going to the martyr thing in the couple minutes we have left, you know, I've said lots of times that a martyr is a negative thing, because as soon as the person gets martyred, the leftover people in the movement distort what he was being martyred for.
Well, someday when we're droned and we're out now, someday when we're droned, you know, I think there'll be Freedom Fiends and Ben Quaker lunchboxes, which I'm looking forward to.
Do kids still have lunchboxes?
The Freedom Fiends rifle.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Kids don't have lunchboxes. The school gives them their food. They're the federal family.
Why did you? Yeah,
they just inject it into them every day.
All right, we're out, man.
All right. Thanks for calling, Ben.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot. Worms.
See you guys later.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Peace.
Nima, you want to switch over to our other post game for a minute?
Yeah.
Check out the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com. You can subscribe to Freedom Fiends via the RSS link on the top right of any page. It's orange and marked follow. Or you can subscribe via email at the subscribe by email link at the top of the right sidebar on any page. It's a little bit below the search field. You'll need to respond to a one-time confirmation email, but after that, you will only receive an email each time a new episode posts. The Freedom Fiends respect your privacy. We will not spam you and will not sell, rent, or share your email address. And you are free to unsubscribe at any time.